Amen. So this afternoon, for this first session, we're on message 7, page 46. Message 7, page 46, the title of which is Being Renewed in the Spirit of Our Mind for the Practical Existence of the One New Man. Can we read this title together? I have to say, brothers, actually, you know, the titles to all the messages that we've had in this itero, absolutely tremendous, absolutely tremendous. Let's read this title again.
Being renewed in the spirit of our mind for the practical existence of the one new man.
Of course, the focus of message 7 will be on this first half of the title, that is being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Being renewed in the spirit of our mind. But I felt from the Lord to share just a little bit regarding this one word, practical existence. Practical existence of the one new man. As the brothers have already shared this morning and touched on, the history of where the messages from this past iteration were originally shared from, I felt it would be good, as the Lord had touched me, to kind of see a little bit of what the history is behind the history. So we all heard, in 1977, Brother Lee gathered a group of international brothers, international saints, to have a training in Taipei, Taiwan. As we heard, many, many countries with banners, it was quite a scene there. And he felt of the Lord to release a particular word regarding the one new man, which up to that point had not yet been released. So, brothers, let me just put in this one plug. I highly, highly recommend, for those of you who haven't already, purchase this book or get this book online that was based off of the messages shared in 1977 in Taiwan. This book, as the brothers already told us this morning, entitled One Body, One Spirit, One New Man. 10 chapters in that book, which basically has become our source materials for the iteration that we just had. Okay. Once you start getting into it, you realize it wasn't such a small thing for our brother Lee to release that word at that time. It seems like, and the brothers who were there can testify, that when Brother Lee shared it, it kind of, you know, went over our heads, right? And hindsight being 50-50, if you look around now 42 years after the fact, it really went over our head. Why? Where's the one new man that he was talking about back then? We're kind of now scratching at it and kind of now getting into it. Here's the burden. And we heard from Brother Peter. Since that time, two separate sessions, conferences held by Brother Lee, again hitting this idea of the one new man. But the second one wasn't until the 2000s. What happened from 1977 all the way to the 2000s? Okay, brothers, it has something to do with this word, practical existence. Practical existence. For us to see something is one thing. We need the vision of the one new man. No question, we need the vision of the one new man. Okay. To have the reality of the one new man is something else. We certainly need the reality of the one new man. Where does that come from? Mostly prayer. That's actually a message that we didn't cover in this review. You should go back home and read that message. It's really, really good. Brother Lee, in his life studies of Ephesians, he tells us, you know, yes, the reality is there. Praise the Lord. But then the next thing, the practicality, the practice, the living of the one new man, okay, is something that builds on the vision and the reality. Okay, so where am I coming from? Okay, history behind history. Okay, not more than a few months after that conference in Taipei in October, almost, by the way, brothers, 42 years to the week of our past iteral.
That's right.
It's really amazing how the Lord does things. You know, in God's eyes, there's no such thing as time. That's why he released through our brother Lee this word on the one new man. He knew that we're going to get it. Okay, it's 42 years later, but he knew we're going to get it. Okay, anyway, not just a couple months after that, after the word was released, okay, we all know basically what happened. If you don't know, younger ones here, ask the senior ones among us. What happened? Satan, as he always does, the instigator, God's adversary, used a human agent. And the senior ones all know who that person was, okay? Who all of a sudden just called himself, as if there was such a thing, the universal coordinator of the one new man. In his mind, talking about a renewed mind, in his mind, his thought was, Brother Lee, you should just retire and stay in Taiwan. I am now the universal coordinator of the one new man. Okay? Okay? We do not know how long that set the Lord back. Even in our vision, in our view, and for sure the practice of the one new man, but how much that affected our view. So that was on the negative side. That's on the negative side. Okay? We know, the adversary knows, you know, there's not too much after the one new man. When the one new man gets lived out, when we start actually practicing, as we already are, do you know what's next, brothers? Something called the New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. That's why the senior co-workers are so excited. I don't know, maybe excited is not the word, but they're so in anticipation of this word being lived out.
Amen.
And being released at this time. So on the negative side, this all needed to be cleared up. And not to mention all the regional works that were occurring in the United States. Northwest, Midwest, even here in the Northeast. All the regional works had to be cleared up. Praise the Lord, they were. But not only that, on the positive side, you know, Brother James, when he opened up this itero, he told us, okay, God's speaking is always progressive. It's always progressive. We are standing here based on what we saw in the 1980s and the 1990s. Now we're able to understand a little bit, to get a little bit of what Brother Lee was talking about 42 years ago regarding the one new man. How do we practice the one new man if in the 1980s we didn't see God's eternal economy, His New Testament economy, His dispensing, this the one work, the unique work that's in the Bible, the one thing that the Lord does in the Word, dispensing Himself into man.
Amen.
Then in the 1990s, okay, how could we even get into the one new man fully if we didn't have the realization of God's full salvation, of what God is doing? He saved us for an incorporation. A divine human incorporation, eventually leading to the high peak, the highest of the high peaks. God became man to make us God.
Amen.
to make us God, not in the Godhead, in life and nature. These are all embedded in the pages of these messages that we're reviewing right now. Okay? In other words, now, brothers, is a golden time. Right. You'll hear this phrase a lot if you listen to the messages shared in India. We're sitting in India among all these 22 different languages and all these different, and James, golden time. This is the reason. They were seeing something. The brothers are seeing something, and they released something according to what they saw. And now, praise the Lord, now we're slowly, okay, it is kind of golden right now. It is kind of golden. Why? Because we're standing on these truths. Not just that. The practice of the God-ordained way. Okay, yes, we're still not there yet. But the amount of blending that we have. Now, brothers, aren't you just encouraged? Aren't you just encouraged by all the blending that you see around the world? They just had a blending conference in Africa. In Africa, where I don't know how many countries were there. In 34 years ago, when Brother Lee sent Brother James and Brother Dick to Africa, there were only four. But he said now there's something like over 20. Brothers gathering in Ethiopia. Africa. Okay, anyways, the point is, you all know, without this kind of blending, without this kind of practice, okay, how do we even understand what's on these pages? The practice, the living, the practicality. This is the word that I want to stress. The practicality of the one new man. That's why this time is special. This time is special. 42 years later, the feeling is the Lord has cleared up the negative things. The Lord has brought us forward in the progressive vision of what he's shown us. Now is the time, brothers, that we can start getting into this word and living it out. Praise the Lord. We're closer to the one new man than we've ever been before. Okay. I don't want to get too excited. But anyways, if you listen to the messages again, you'll get excited. You will get excited as these brothers were. Okay. That is the history behind the history. So now you know, when you hear golden time, one new man, what we're talking about. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Aren't you happy to be alive now? Amen. Aren't you happy to be hearing this word now?
Amen.
Something special. Okay. In this message, there are two groups of verses that you need to outline because they're the focus of this message. One is Colossians 3:10. Okay, and the other is Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Okay, for the sake of time, because we've read them already, we won't read them again together now. Okay, but point one, in Colossians 3:10, there are the creation of the new man and the renewal of the new man. So the creation of the new man was completed on the cross, but the renewal of the new man is still going on.
Amen.
Brothers, can I ask you a question? And this question is, why does something new need to be renewed? You consider this. Maybe you shouldn't consider this in your own mind. You need your mind renewed. You have a new car. You just bought yourself a new car. You're driving. Why does your new car need to be renewed? It's already new. It's already new. Yeah, well, okay, it runs out of gas. True, it needs gas. You know the interesting thing about cars, new cars? As soon as you drive it off the lot, it's already dropped half in value. It's already become old. And that's the answer to this question, by the way. Why does the new man need to be renewed? It's because the constituents of the new man, us, you're looking at us, we're old. We're old. We need to be renewed. Isn't it good that our God hasn't done away with us? He's going to renew us to make the one new man, which he already did on the cross. He actually did it. That's the amazing thing. We'll get to that in just 1 minute. Okay? So the creation of the new man was completed on the cross. Done, completed. But the renewal of the new man is still going on. That involves us. That involves us today. It's still going on. Point number two, the new man was created by Christ, but the believers need to partake of this creation. Okay, so brothers, be clear. Only Christ was qualified to create the one new man. Amen. Only Christ. Okay, the second man, he actually did it. What he did on the cross, he created the one new man. It's done. Brothers and sisters, brothers, if you don't believe it, well, go to the Lord. Because it's done. Amen. It's done. The one new man has already been created. Amen. It's already been created. All right, sometimes you just have to smile and say, praise the Lord. Amen. It's already done. He did it. He did it on the cross. Okay, to bring forth a new man, first, Christ's creating work on the cross was needed. We said this. And this has been accomplished. B, in order to partake of this creation, every day we need to put off the old man and put on the new man. Amen. Through the renewing. Amen. Through the renewing. This is key. We're going to get to this in Roman numeral 5. So I'm going to come back to it. Let's go on. Next, Roman numeral 3. This is the definition of what it is to be renewed. Of what it is to be renewed. Okay? Let's read this together. Go. Brothers, were you not convinced? Were you not convinced by our brother Peter speaking? We're just old. Everything about us is old. Everything about us is old. Everything that we're involved in is old. Do you know what? God hates old. Got to use that word. Because everything old belongs to the old creation, which he terminated. He hates old. Everything that he's involved in is new. Amen. Brothers, we need to get new.
Amen.
We need to be renewed.
Amen.
I don't care how old you are physically, number of years. You need to be newer today.
Amen.
Than you were this morning when you woke up.
Amen.
You need to be newer tonight when you put your head on the pillow than when you woke up in the morning, when you took your head off the pillow. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Day by day, we're getting renewed.
Amen.
What does that mean? It means that we're getting God's element added into our being. Day by day, we're getting more of God's element added into our being. Point A, newness is God.
Amen.
Therefore, to become new is to become God.
Amen.
You see? You can't get into the reality and live the one new man unless you know the high peak truth. See, this is proof. This is proof. What the Lord is revealing is progressive. Okay? Newness is God. Newness is God. God is forever new, and he infuses his ever new essence into our being to renew our entire being. Okay? Point two says, the Spirit of God renews us by infusing our inward parts with God's attributes, which are forever new, can never become old, and are everlasting and unchanging.
Amen.
God is forever new.
Amen.
Don't ask me how Daniel can call him the Ancient of Days. He's new.
Amen.
He's new. Even though his name is ancient, he's new. And he's renewing us day by day.
Amen.
Okay. Point C, also very, very experiential. We touched on it. In fact, there was a testimony on it this morning. God arranges our environment so that little by little and day by day, our outer man will be consumed and our inner man will be renewed.
Amen.
Everything in our environment is arranged so that we can become renewed. Okay. In the divine life, in resurrection. Okay, point four. What is it to be renewed, or how can you be renewed? Okay, So we know what being renewed is. It's adding God's element into us. Okay? Roman numeral 4 tells us how it is that we become renewed. How it is? Okay. According to Ephesians 4:23, which is vital and crucial to us, the key to putting off the old man, the old social life, and putting on the new man, the new church life, is in being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Amen. Brothers, this is how we are being renewed. In the spirit of our mind. Okay, brothers, be honest. How many of you even realize there's something called the spirit of our mind? How many of you know what that is? Did you even know your mind had a spirit? The spirit of your mind. Okay, let me explain to you basically what it is. Okay. When the divine spirit gets mingled with the human spirit, which occurred the day of your salvation, okay, you have something called a mingled spirit living inside you. Praise the Lord! And when this mingled spirit starts to, as Brother Ricky said, seep into our soul, seep into our mind, do you know what happens? Do you know what happens? You get something called the spirit of your mind. Your mind starts to get renewed. Your mind starts to get renewed. The question is, and the crux of the matter, as Brother James, who shared this, said, do we allow the mingled spirit to spread into our mind? Do we allow this? Do we allow this? That is what the spirit of the mind is. The spirit of the mind is. Okay. Point C, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind is inward and intrinsic. I'm reading Roman numeral 4C. Okay. The renewing in the spirit of our mind revolutionizes our logic, philosophy, thought, concept, and psychology. Renewing is to have our mind changed. Brothers, we need to have our mind changed. We really do. We really, really do. Okay. Now, let's read point D together. Ready? Go. Willing to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Okay, two more points and then I'm going to stop. All right, number one, I'm going to jump. What does this mean? What does this mean? Okay, to be renewed. All right, Brother Peter did a very good job. I think he convinced you, okay, what the old man is. Okay, look at Romans 6, C1 on page 47. Romans 6, C1. Okay, our natural and national mentality was educated and built up according to our racial and cultural background. This is the greatest hindrance to the existence of the one new man. Okay, the greatest hindrance to the existence of the new man. Brothers, these are not our words. These are not our words. Okay, so Brother Lee helped us to see. Helped us to see. Basically, our old man is composed of really four things that are in our mind. Four things that are in our mind. Number one, our naturalness. Okay, our naturalness. That is your nature. That is your nature. Some of us are fast. Some of us are slow. Some of us are careful. Some of us are not so. Some of us are coarse. Some of us are rough. By nature, you know what? All of it is dead. Okay, all of it, that's part of your old man. This is what we're putting off. Number two, your nationality. Your nationality. Okay, I don't care what languages you speak. Okay, I don't care where you came from. If you're sitting in this room, you are U.S. Americans. Correct? What's the proof? When you go to a foreign country, okay, And you, I'm not saying you do, but if you did and you wore a T-shirt that says USA, does your chest stand up like this? That proves. That proves. You have some nationality in you. You're USA. You're USA. Okay? You know what? This has also been put on the cross.
I love New York. Awesome.
I love New York. I love the one new man in New York. But if all you say, yeah, I love, okay, that's also on the cross. That's also on the cross. That's the part of the old man we're putting off. Okay. Number three, your education. Your education. What you spent so much time in school to pick up. Guess what? Part of our old creation. Part of the old man that needs to be put off. That needs to be put off. And number four, our religion. You believe this? Our religion. The first time I read that, I said, okay, yeah, that's true. Not everybody in the Lord's recovery was a church kid, was born in the church. Some of them, they just came from a religious background. Then I realized, you know, as a church kid, I probably have more religion than they do, more ordinances than they do. But our religion has been crucified, has been put as part of the old man. Okay? This is what it means to have our mind renewed. Then the last point, and this is a very experiential point, and I'll end with this, okay? You have to see this picture in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. Verse 22, putting off. Verse 24, putting on. The key is in between in verse 23. What's that? The renewing of the mind. That's how we put off and put on. What is it that we're putting off? Okay, the old man. All those four things that I just mentioned. We need to take, just like a jacket, take it off and leave it. Leave it. Don't go, oh, my nationality. Oh, that's the way I was raised. Oh, my mama, my papa. Okay, no, it's all on the cross. Sorry. All right, but once we put off, okay, there's something else we need to do. In verse 24, what else do we need to do? Put on. Okay, this is the one point I'm going to end with because this is the one point I was very, very touched by. Do you realize, brothers, there was another jacket created by our Lord Jesus that's been hanging there. I don't know where it's been hanging, but it's been hanging there. Okay, it's brand new. Even though it's 2,000 years old, it's brand new. Okay? That what? That we need to put on. That we need to put on. Praise the Lord. Now is the golden time to start putting on this jacket. This jacket that our Lord created for us 2,000 years ago. Okay? That's the putting on of the new man. How do we do it? The renewing of the mind. Amen. Brothers, how about we read on page 48, okay? Romans 6, D, 4. 4. Ready? Go. And then point six.
Where our mind has been renewed, the one new man will come into existence in a radical way, and Christ will truly be all in all.
One more time. Point six. Go.
When our mind has been renewed, the one new man will come into existence in a practical way.
Praise the Lord. Amen. How about we sing stanza one of 1230? Just stanza one. Because one new man is the Father's plan. Amen. Amen. Okay. You got it? One new man is the Father's plan. He redeemed us from the sons of men. Every kid tribe and tongue. In himself he called us to be one.
God's expression
on the earth now reveals his glorious worth. One new man is the Father's plan. He redeemed us from the sons of men. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are privileged.
Hallelujah.
We're in a golden time.
Amen.
And something is laid before us that can provide a direction and meaning to our church life. I don't know if everybody has a sense of it, but I am so happy to be in the Lord's recovery. We are touching something that is in God himself and has never been clearer to Christians on the earth. You know, maybe I can just visit this again. In the creating of man, God's intention was always to have a corporate person. But the first man fell. So God had a second man. You know, if you can picture this, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, it says that Christ abolished in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances in order that he would create in himself one new man.
Amen.
Did you realize that on the cross, the Lord Jesus was creating? Did you realize? There was a creation that was transpiring on the cross. In Genesis, we see a garden as the context, the venue, the sphere in which the creating of man first took place. But you realize the second man, Christ, was creating something in himself on that cross. That was a creating work by God himself. He spent much energy, I'm sure, in the creation of a new man. He brought something into existence.
Amen.
That new man is the fulfillment of God's intention. So you may have had the same concepts that I had, which is that the new man or the aspect of the church as the new man is merely a subset of the whole panoply of what the church is. But never before had I seen so clearly that the new man is the focal point of God's economy.
Amen.
He wants to gain a man.
Amen.
So that man that was brought into existence in chapter 2 of Ephesians, in chapter 4, requires some cooperation.
Amen.
On our behalf. And there it says that we need to put him off, or put off the old man and put on the new man. But that man is then described as something different in chapter 5. You know, it's that man that is actually the bride.
Amen.
Did you realize? The man is the bride.
Right.
And then in chapter 6, the man is the warrior.
Right.
So in chapter 5, the bride matching her husband is expressing the same thing as the Lord.
Amen.
Right? In chapter 6, she's exercising dominion. She's representing God.
Amen.
So that man is fulfilling Genesis 1:26. God's intention is fulfilled in the one new man.
Amen.
As the bride and as the warrior. Wow, right? So this is not just some sort of creative theological invention here. This is the word of God that is unveiling to us that's something that has been deeply in God's heart is to gain the one new man.
Amen.
And the sequence of these outlines, and it would take a little bit to appreciate them, but if you look at all 9 of them, they flow in a particular way, right? We touch God's eternal purpose. We see his creating of man, his bringing forth of that man. Then we see some of the procedural things in the intermediate steps. Right, we see that we need to have a certain kind of prayer. That we didn't touch that message, but we see we have a certain stewardship. we see we need to be brought unto full maturity. And then we're dialing into the practicality of this in these last two messages, well, the last three, but we're only touching the last two here. This new man is not, again, I emphasize this is not a something to tantalize us theologically, okay, to impress us with some sort of truth. We are bringing this into existence. Okay, I went to school in New York City, and that's where I met the brothers, and I enjoyed noodles with Brother Dennis at Ollie's. I enjoyed what Brother Ricky shared at a home meeting in the brother's house on the, abiding in the vine. So anyways, I came in, and you know what was laid before me? Which is the only thing that would have captured me, really, was the way to accomplish God's purpose in practicality. I never wanted to be a priest or something, and my best friend was, but, you know, I thought they were kind of lazy people, okay? We want to accomplish something practically. Amen. And what we're working out is God's eternal purpose. Amen. And so we're carrying out this very profound and most intrinsic matter.
Amen.
And bringing it into the church life.
Amen.
We're realizing this thing in our home meetings, with our families, in our district meetings. The church is becoming the one new man.
Amen.
Can we see this?
Amen.
This is something it's worth giving ourselves to. Right? First, we give ourselves to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Because a prominent feature of all of these, the message after message, we realize the problem is our ordinances. And I realized, just as the Father is versus the world, right? Our self is versus the body. Antichrist is versus Christ. You know what? It was worth it versus the new man. It's the ordinances. It's these subtle, unspoken sometimes ways that we live and worship that have created divides between us, well, between us and one another. So we are, in Ephesians 2, it says, this is a middle wall. There's a middle wall of partition. And the wall is frustrating the ability for not only God's life to flow amongst us, but even more for his person to be expressed. So we need to, again, repeat this message. We need to take Christ as our person. This is not about just having a homogenous group of people who we all look like the same. You know what I mean? We all wear suit coats and do the same things, pray in the same way. No, this has to be intrinsic.
Amen.
And the corporate expression of this must start from each of our personal experience.
Amen.
So we see that we start with the renewing of our mind. We start with the laying aside of things according to the Lord's shining. Right? As our brother Peter mentioned, we have all of these fibrous ways that are emanating out of the atom that's inside of us. And we need to, according to the Lord's shining, deal with these one by one. Anyways, we have a lot of dead works that we participate in based on our natural constitution and what we think we have, what we think we've built up, how mom and dad taught us, where we were educated, you know, all these things. They need to be laid aside. And we need to be washed of these ordinances
Amen.
That frustrate us from being one with the Lord and with one another.
Amen.
So let's go ahead and turn to message number 9. And let's read the title together.
Practicing the church life, speaking the same thing, and doing the one work in the consciousness of the one new man.
So, we're practicing the church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We love the church life.
Amen.
So we're practicing the church life.
Amen.
We're speaking the same thing.
Amen.
And we're doing the one work for the Lord's recovery in the consciousness of the one new man.
Amen.
So first we get into Roman numeral 1. Why don't we read that together? In Colossians 4, 7 through 17, we have a practical illustration of the revelation of the one new man.
and of the consciousness of the one new man. So when I first read that, I thought that was just anyways, creative. But then I got into it. And this section of Colossians kind of mirrors Romans chapter 16, where you see the Apostle Paul is blending the saints throughout the Mediterranean. And so in Colossians 4, 7 through 4, 17, Paul lists 10 different names. And I got into all the names, you know. And it's very interesting. They're a hodgepodge of people from here and there. There's Demas and Archippus, and there's Luke, and there's Mark, and there's Epaphras, and there's, anyways, there's three that are from Ephesus, or from Colossae. There's one that's a Greek, one that's Macedonian. Mark presumably was from Cyprus, because that's where his uncle was from. I don't know, presumption. But you realize they're from all over, they're all over the place, different cultures. Even very interestingly, at one point, I think it's verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "These alone of the circumcision are with me." And then he lists some other names. He distinctly brought out, there are some that are circumcised, and there are some that are not circumcised that are with me. In chapter 3, 10 and 11, he said, you know, there's no Jew or Greek or circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is all in and all. In chapter 4, Paul's walking the walk. He's saying that amongst me, with our cohort, there's no distinction. We're laboring together in oneness. So this is a practical illustration. And that it was brought out again and again in the training that in 1977, the concept concerning the one new man was primarily outward. You know, we had a collection of different ethnicities that were embodied in the congregation, and we're all celebrating our unity. We're all one in Christ, you know. But we've advanced, and our vision is much higher. Now, it's not just about a collection of ethnicities, but the collection of ethnicities provides us a wonderful opportunity.
Amen.
To drop everything. And I really appreciated this. It's not just about being able to say, I'm American or Caucasian, and Brother Sam is Korean, and look, we're one. No, it's actually much deeper. It's to be able to say, I'm not American, and he's not Korean. We're one. You know, it's much deeper, right? It's to say that it's not just that there's enough to make us one, and then we go back to our own lives. It's to say that we are losing our distinctions, our cultural flavors, and we're becoming one to the point that Christ really is all and in all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the blending.
Amen.
Okay, when I came into the church life, okay, there were only two sisters at Columbia at that time. Okay, both were Chinese, and the meeting was heavily Chinese. Most of my friends were all Caucasian. Okay, they were, you know, anyways. But that's what they were. But when I came in, there are no Chinese. There's no American. But Christ is all and in all. And that was just such a joy for me to enter into that and to give my whole lives to that. Actually, I lost all my friends. You know, that's what happens when you... That's the point in message number 7. We read it. I don't know if everybody caught it. You know what to put off the old man is to put off your old social life.
Amen.
To put on the new man is church to life. Put on the church life.
Amen.
That's why it's so good to have a clear, delineating entrance into the church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right, Brother Roger? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we are entering into this together. Anyways, let's read number 2. Roman, all the local churches in the different countries are one new man. Thus, they need to practice the church life in the consciousness of the new man. So, all the churches, no local church can say that it
is the new man. But in aggregate, all the churches, with all the saints actively participating in this marvelous shifting, right? Shifting out of our old man, out of our old ways, shifting into Christ as our person, allowing him to be the decision maker in all of our things that we do. When we all do that, the Lord in all the churches becomes the new man. So we see that B2, if we take Christ as our person, as our life, spontaneously, we all will speak the same thing. Then in a practical way, we will be the new man. Amen. So I appreciate it. In the next section, it says, or brings out these verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, where, you know, the Apostle Paul, he says that he teaches the same thing, even as I teach in all the churches. So that's why there's only one teaching in the churches. You know, in Ephesians 4, there's only one ministry. There's one teaching. There's one ministry. In chapter 7, verse 17, he says, even as I direct, the apostle gave direction. I direct in all the churches. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, 33, again, he uses the phrase, in all the churches. You know, a problem with the Corinthians were they were very individualistic in their experience of Christ. And so the apostle had to bring out, we do this in all the churches. He was endeavoring to bring the churches into the realization and participation in the one new man, right? He was blending the churches. So this is where we still are today. Actually, we picked it back up after the baton was left on the ground for a little while. And we are now running with this. We are being blent to fulfill what the Apostle Paul spoke to us, right? Okay, so let's read together under D, 1.
We may not ought to be the same as the other churches because of our pride, but according to the divine economy, the more that we are the same, the more glorious we are. It is glorious to imitate others, to follow others, and to be one with others in the Spirit. We must learn from one another, be adjusted by one another, and receive grace from one another.
So this is quite sweet, right? Especially in America, we want to be distinct. We want to have our own whatever it is, whether it's our tie, whether it's our hairdo, whatever. We want to have our own twist on something, right? But in God's eyes, it's glorious to be the same. And this, there was something that came out in India that I think it like shook the foundations. We realized, you know what, there is something higher than oneness. I mean, we were like, blah, 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 but we're one, right? You know, the Lord's Prayer, John 17, consummate vision, we'll be one even as they are one. In a way of incorporation, but we saw, actually, it's not merely enough to be one.
That's right.
We are blended to be the same. Isn't that radical? We are being blended to be the same. Same in ministry, same in teaching, same in speaking, same in even in practice. Right? This is just jarring, especially, I think, to those that have not severed all of their old Adam fibers, you know, American fibers. This is jarring, right? You know, aren't we we celebrate Independence Day here, okay? But we see we're becoming the same. So another brother speaks something, and I'm just happy to say the same thing.
Amen.
It's a glory, actually. You know, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you see the seven churches in Asia Minor, and they're all the same. If you were to put all the churches together, you know, seven of them. You know, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. You wouldn't know the difference, except for, you know, deep things of Satan and, Satan's throne. All the negative things were the ways in which they're different. But in essence or in nature, in form, in expression, they're all the same. This is truly marvelous. We are becoming the same. Is that not new and fresh, Brother Richard? We're becoming the same. Amen. That was, I still remember that. The brother and I that was sitting next to him and I just spoke to one another. We've never heard this before. This is just opening up new vistas for how we can practice the church life. Right? So let's read Roman numeral 3.
For the church as the universal one new man, we all need to take Christ as our person in the matter of speaking. We need to consider one new man in Ephesians 2:15 together with one mouth in Romans 15:6 and speak the same thing in 1 Corinthians 1:10.
Maybe we could read those three verses. I think there's a lot of light here. Maybe this section, let's get Ephesians 2:15. This section, let's get Romans 15:6. And then this section, we'll get 1 Corinthians 1:10. Maybe this section can declare it to us. Amen.
That with one accord, you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. Isn't that good? It's just so clear. There's one man. One man has one mouth. One mouth speaks one thing. Let's speak the same thing. I think it speaks for itself. So then let's read Roman numeral 4.
There should not be several works in the Lord's recovery. All the workers in all the regions should do the same one work for the unique body, the universal one new man.
So there, we're doing, actually I was in Richmond, Virginia a couple days ago with some of the serving ones that were there, and they were handling some things, and I was just encouraging them from some of these verses. You know, you are doing the work of Christ.
Amen.
Whenever we're serving in any form or fashion, we may be setting chairs, we may be preparing outlines, whatever we're doing, you're doing the work of Christ.
Amen.
Be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
So we're doing the work for the Lord. Amen. Even furthermore, we're doing the work of Christ.
Amen.
But we are doing that work in the one work of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
So one man has one mouth, and he speaks one thing, and he does one work.
Amen.
So we are being brought to this point, right? And actually, I should have read this earlier, but let's go ahead and go back to Roman numeral 1D. But I'll bring it in here, because there's this one term or phrase that we want to capture.
It is shameful for the church in any locality to isolate itself from other churches. This is utterly contrary to the consciousness of the new man. Any church that holds such an attitude has a consciousness only of itself, not of the totality of the new man. Those who insist on this attitude cause the new man to be fragmented, to be broken into pieces. Those who have this attitude lack the sense, the consciousness of the one new man.
So that's the last point of emphasis in the subject or the title, is we need to do so in the consciousness of the one new man.
Amen.
So in our locality, we serve, we labor, and we should raise up our local church. You know, and we should be focused in a certain sense to do so. Any kind of work, it requires focus. But when we labor, we should have a certain consciousness. We should have a consciousness that we are doing a certain kind of work, the work for the one new man, a work in the one new man. And it should have a sense of all the churches. So if there is something that we may consider in our locality that may not be, that another locality may have a problem with, maybe we should consider, should I be doing that? You know, there was one home meeting. I was serving in a particular city, and there was one home meeting that would have games. So the serving would bring in games after the meeting, and board games and that kind of thing. And they're not wrong. Board games aren't wrong. But there was just a little bit of feeling from those that were elsewhere. And they learned about it, and they just they didn't feel so positive. And so in that kind of consciousness, that serving brother was asked to stop. And he willingly, he stopped. But there was a certain sense that what we may do in one place, it affects a lot of others. So this is the matter of consciousness. While we're serving, we need to ask the question, is what I do, I serve in Virginia Beach, Virginia right now, how do the brothers in New York City feel about what I'm doing? I may take the stand of autonomy, you know what I mean? Administration is local, and look, we need to do this, and I may use our circumstances as a reason to do something, but maybe I should check. How do the other churches feel about how we're carrying on in Virginia Beach? That is to serve in the consciousness, in the awareness of the one new man. So we may not be able to affect practically, like where we go, what we do, because of our limitations. We are local, unless you're globetrotting. I don't know. But for the most part, we're local, and we focus locally, and we labor locally. But we are more and more being sensitized, and especially in a digital age where everything can be communicated. Before you know it, something circumventing the globe, right? Somebody posts this, and it's real time. It's going to any part of the world. And I don't want that on my dossier when I appear before the Lord Jesus, right? That what I did or what I emphasized or what I promoted was a problem and a stumbling to some churches in some other place. So this would really affect the way that we serve locally, right? Is that we would have a consciousness. Again, I'm belaboring the point, but it's a matter of our sense. I mean, we may be in Ithaca, upstate New York. It's frigid. Nobody can cross the mountains to get there, right? Who's going to know? There's just 20 of us in a home, right? Well, somebody has a Facebook page, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, in Africa, you see this strange practice popping up. So we're just being aware, right? And being brought into a certain kind of consciousness. So, hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a privilege and a joy. I'm happy I was able to be here with you all.
Amen.
This is a little bit of a drive for me. I don't normally make it all the way up here. But I had a brother with me, so that made it okay. And we're being blended.
Amen.
And we're entering into the practicality and actuality of the one new man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I don't know what we want to do.
How about a little prayer or two?